Hi there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
So good to see you. Welcome. As Blake shared, my name is Christian. I'm the Adults Ministry Pastor here at the Coeur d'Alene campus. I'm excited to get into God's Word together. Before we dig into our main content, I always love to share a verse that kind of helps us get our minds on God and who He is, that He wants to work through His Word. And this is one of my favorite passages when it comes to this. It says this in Revelation 3. It says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne." Listen to this. "Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he says to the churches." We have a God who is constantly working, constantly moving, whether we see it, think it, or feel it, that he says he's knocking on the door of what I believe represents our hearts, and he hopes that people would allow him to come in, and he says, "Those who have ears to hear, would you listen and try to understand what the Spirit says?" And in that, God speaks through his word, amen? And it says that his word never comes back void. And the same God who spoke galaxies into existence, I say this all the time, when he said, "Let there be light," there was light, is the same God who has his words in the Bible that we have. And it has the ability to renew and change us. And it's pretty powerful. And so my hope is that you would hear something today as the Spirit tries to speak through his word into your life, and that God would do a work in you. And so with that, we're in this series, as we've shared, Lost in Translation. Everyone say, "Lost in Translation." Perfect. Better than the last service. Good job. In this series, we're talking about words and things that have lost meaning over time. I did youth ministry for a very long time, 10 years, and I switched several years ago to adults ministry. And I remember going the following year, in 1 year's time, I was the camp speaker. And I remember getting there, and I'm like, I don't understand half of what these middle schoolers are saying in 1 year's time. They had all these different terms that meant different things. And I'm like, how in 1 year's time did terminology change, right? In our culture, would you agree that things can change very quickly? The meaning of words can change. What they say, how they say it, the word love can be so overused. We can love pizza when you know, I do like pizza, but do I love pizza? The words can mean different things. And so in this, last week we talked about justice and how that can be lost in translation. This week, we get to talk about truth. Who would agree truth is very important, right? Truth in how we live our lives and what's actually true, what's not. We have an enemy that says that he disguises himself as an angel of light and he tries to deceive us. He speaks and he's the father of lies. And so truth matters. And so if you're in this, fall in our notes, the first section is what does the world say truth is? There are all kinds of things that the world says truth is. There are things that say there are multiple pathways to heaven. There's multiple ways to truth, that it doesn't really matter which one. There's multiple ways that you can get to heaven. There's multiple truths. There's some that say it's arrogant to claim you have any truth, that there's no way that any of us can say with confidence that there's an actual truth. There's some say that what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. Is that an absolute statement, though? Are you sure that's true, right? It can contradict. But here's what's important to know. The devil loves to use enough truth to get people to bite at it, right? He did that in the very beginning. He says, "You won't surely die," right? If you eat from this tree, God just doesn't want you to be like him. You won't surely die. Well, God meant we would spiritually die and go into a process of living in our own strength. And we didn't die in that moment, but we did spiritually die. You see, he uses enough of something to get people to cling to it. And here's what's important as the really big idea that's out there right now is what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. And in that, because we're made in the image of God, God allowed us to have free will. To be able to choose love, there has to be free will. So in free will, God allows us to believe or not believe certain things. But that reality of what I choose to believe becomes real to me, but it may not actually be based in reality. If I believed with all my heart that I could fly, could I fly? I'd go up to the roof today and say, I could fly and I believe it. What's gonna happen though? What's gonna pull me down if I jump off that roof, regardless of what I believe? I will fall. You see, there are absolute truths embedded even in creation. But the world says all of these different things about truth. Jesus himself said when he was here that he often had compassion on the people because they were sheep without a shepherd. They were confused. Pilate himself, when with Jesus, said, "What is truth?" Like you couldn't find it. The world says all of these things, but what does Jesus say? If you're in our notes, that's the next section. Don't miss this in John 14:6. I love this. Jesus says this. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus said, truth isn't an idea. Truth isn't just this thing out there that you have to find. He says, "I am the truth." Amen. He says, "I am life." If you're in here today or you're watching us online and you're searching for life, you're searching for meaning and what is truth, Jesus says, "I am it. I am truth. I am life." For me, I, as an ex-addict, tried to find truth and life in all the things that we've talked about already, about what the world says truth is and what matters and what life is and what brings meaning and purpose and all these pieces. But whatever the world promises that will bring you life leaves you more empty, doesn't it? Because it says Jesus is the truth. If we're going to talk about truth today, I thought it'd be cool to look at the different definitions as we look at truth. So if we're talking about lost in translation, here's the original Greek word for truth. I'll probably botch it. It's alaithai. And this is what it says in the original Greek when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, the life," is this. It's objectivity, what is true in any matter under consideration, of a truth in reality, in fact and certainty, what is true in things pertaining to God. And so he says it is based around reality, fact, not just idea. So Jesus says, "I am the truth. I am reality. I am objective fact." How can Jesus say that? Here's some other ones from our own definition, the word for truth. Truth is this: it is defined as conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. Here's the one for reality. It's defined as the world or the state of things as they actually exist, as opposed to an idealistic or notional idea of them. So how can Jesus say, "I am fact, I am reality, I'm it," not some, like it's me? What does Jesus mean by that? What does he even mean by that? I love this next passage that I believe will help us give an understanding on why Jesus believes he can say that. This is John 1, it says this. It says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone who might believe of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He simply was a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light gives light to everyone. The light was coming into the world. He came into the very world that he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe in him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Jesus says, before you existed, before your reality, I existed. I created everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. It says this, Jesus says, I am the truth because I created everything. Says in Psalms that the heavens and the earth proclaim and point to the glory of God. Everything we see points to the reality of God. And Jesus says, me and my Father, we created it. So what is the truth? Everything you can see points to me. And if Jesus is the creator of the universe and before our foreseen reality, he was the reality, he's always been, then he says, I'm the truth. That's all you need to know. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I created life itself. I sustain it. I've always been. And so I am the truth and the life. And not only is he the truth, if he's the truth, then what he says is the truth. And he reveals reality about our circumstances, that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. That Jesus, he came, he left heaven. Why did he leave heaven? You guys know this, you know the Word. He left heaven because he came to seek and to save. That's which he lost when we chose sin. And sin came into the world and all of us had sin and we were far from God and we were utterly helpless to do anything about it. And he didn't want eternity without us. So before the world existed, he knew this would take place. So he came with a plan to save you, church. He came to save you. You see, the God of the universe loves you and he knows you. And regardless of what you think right now or what you believe or see in your circumstances, here's what God says. He says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And regardless of the situation in which we find ourselves, he wants to save you. But you notice this? It says that the world rejected him, that it didn't recognize him. You see, if there's a God, there is a devil, and the devil wants to deceive. The devil doesn't care what direction you go. He doesn't care if it's Buddha or Muhammad. He doesn't care if you are looking for someone to fulfill your every need. There's a one true love out there that's just going to complete you, right? He doesn't care what you chase. He doesn't care what you seek after. He doesn't care. You can go to religious fairs all around the world right now, and none of them care what you claim. It can be Buddha or Muhammad. But as soon as you say Jesus is the only way, there's a problem, isn't there? There's a problem. Now, there's some religions that say theirs is the one truth, and they fight against each other. But Jesus says, in all these other ways, it's just me. And why is that? Because he's always been. He's the one that created it all. And the devil has wanted to twist truth from the beginning, but Jesus wants to set you free. Later in John 8, he says this, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what? Free. Do you want to be set free today? You want to be set free? There's one thing that will set you free. And Jesus says you can know that truth and that truth will set you free. And in John 1, it's made very clear. And Jesus himself says, I am that truth. I can set you free if you would believe in me. if you'd receive me. Romans 10:9 says, those who believe in their heart and declare Jesus as Lord will be saved. And declaring someone as Lord is not just believing that someone exists. It says even the demons believe in God and they are in terror. It's not just believing he exists, but he exists and we believe that he is who he says he is, how he defines it, and that we would declare him as Lord, that we would stand on his truths, the way in which God has called us to, if we would receive him. So what does the world say about truth? The world has been rejecting Jesus. This is no new news. There's all kinds of versions of different truth from the very beginning. If you're in our notes, the next section is the truth suppressed and rejected. It's been happening for a very long time. Listen to this in Romans 1. It's a long read, but follow along. Verse 18. But God showed his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up of foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, so their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Listen. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of all eternal praise. Amen. It's been happening for a very long time that people have been suppressing the truth for multiple different reasons. Either they're confused, they have bought into other versions of what God is like, and so they were confused. And when God tried to work within them, it says that there's a certain point that God hands people over to what people think that they want because we're rockheads. And in that, he hopes that we would run our course with what we think we want and that we would come to the end of ourselves and realize that that's actually not what we want, and we would turn to him. So people are creating different versions of what God is like. People are seeking after the idols. They're placing things in God's place in their hearts, and they choose to chase after things that only God should be in the throne of our hearts, and their minds become dark and confused, and it says that they suppress the truth by their wickedness. Regardless of what you think about this part or not, it says that God has made it obvious to us that he exists, and he has either given us enough consciousness and the ability as being made in the image of God to realize that he exists and he is who he says he is, but it says that we suppress it. People suppress it. I don't understand fully how that always works, but it makes it clear here that that is what can take place. And I don't know about you, but I remember that was me. I grew up in church. I grew up knowing, and I got confused about who God was, and I decided to chase after addictions, to chase after pleasure or popularity or sports or success. We may not in America have little statues, maybe some people do, but does not America have a lot of idols, would you agree? The American dream, the success, the best job, the best house, those things in itself are not wrong. And as long as we go, God gave me these things and he gets all glory because of who he is, and he's a good father and gives good gifts. But there are people who are chasing after those things as God. They're clinging to their versions of truth. But I want to ask you this. If your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, is that not meaningless? Can that not change on a dime? Can't I change my mind about what that is? And so therefore truth is constantly changing. Here's what God says. I never change or cast a shifting shadow. Amen. That he is secure. That he is who he is. You know, I told this analogy last service, and it's just an analogy. It's okay. There are raccoons, and I don't know, they're raccoons. Anyone think raccoons are cute? Some of you? They are vicious little boogers. They look cute, and they are all of a sudden vicious. And there was one time my brother was telling me an analogy after one of my sermons, and I'm like, man, I'm going to steal that. And he said that raccoons, there are these traps, because raccoons love shiny things. You guys know this? They love to look after and chase after shiny things. And they set up these traps where raccoons will reach in to grab the shiny thing, and it sets the trap when they grab it. And all they would have to do is let go of the shiny object and their trap would release. But they're so captivated by it, they won't release. And so they keep pulling on it to their death. Isn't that crazy? I was like, does that really happen? He's like, yep, they have those traps for raccoons. You see, in a world that goes here's some other things that the world says, you guys. It says, follow your heart. It says, you're the captain of your own ship. You're your own boss. You get to decide for yourself what's true. What's true is just what feels good. So go out and just feel good. Find what feels good. And if it doesn't, just discard it. If it's a person, they just weren't the person that completes you. So go out until you feel good. That's what truth is. And it's like we cling to these things that we think are so, this is it. This is what it's going to fulfill. And we won't release it. And it leads us to our deaths. When all Jesus is saying is, I'm the truth. You doing this with the things and your versions of what you think is right. I created you. He knows what's right. He knows what we need. He came to save us even when we reject him. It says even when we're his enemies. He says that I came for you, but would you let go of this thing that you think you want, this truth that you think it is, would you let go and would you receive what I would have for you? The world is filled, even as a young age. You know, I have a daughter and she loves Disney shows. I actually love Disney. I could quote any Disney song right now. But you have to be careful at explaining to your kids, because even in Disney shows, it's this fantasy, this thing that you just go, this thing will complete you. That's not true. The only thing that completes you is Jesus. I often ask my daughter when we're watching these shows, Lily, what actually completes you? And she goes, Jesus, Dad, that's the only thing, right? He's the truth, the way. There's nothing else. Jesus plus nothing. I'm it, he says. And he loves you guys. At the end days, it says this in Philippians. This is what it says in the end times is going to happen. Philippians 3. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. It says that in the end, that people's God is going to be their appetite. If you were to look into that word, it's the seed of their desires and what they want and how they think. Their God is what they think feels good. But you ever notice some things that feel good are the worst things for you? They might offer temporary satisfaction. In the end, there are people whose God will be their appetites, their stomachs, their desires. And Jesus is going, I'm it. And if you're following us in the notes, this leads to the next section. It's not easy. Truth is about fact and reality. Sometimes fact and reality doesn't mean it's easy. It is not easy to follow Jesus, is it? No. It's not easy. It's not easy to be the one that the world looks at and you're the odd man out. It's not easy when you're an ex-addict and you become a believer and then all your friends think you're crazy. It's not easy when you stand on the truth and do what's right. And because of that, all kinds of hardships happen. Jesus said it this way. He says, "There are no servants greater than their master. The world hated and persecuted me, so it's going to hate and it's going to persecute you." Not only with physical persecution, but there's going to be the enemy behind the scenes who wants to come at you and attack you, and it's not going to be easy, which is going to lead into our next word next week, resilience. But Jesus said this, the road to destruction is big in Matthew. You can see this verse in your notes. In Matthew 7, it says the road to destruction is very, very broad. Because it says, I don't care what you do. You can do that thing and that thing and that thing as long as you don't know Jesus. And so the road is huge. And it says the road to being a believer is narrow. Because I'm that way. I'm that truth. And it may not be easy, but would we stand on it? It also says in here that in the end times in Matthew 24, that hard things will happen and that even believers will take their eyes off of the true faith and that they will fall away because it's hard to go, I trust Jesus over what I see. I trust Jesus over what I feel. I trust Jesus over what I'm thinking. God, I know that there are times that feel like you're not with me, and it feels true. What we feel and think, or what we can see, feels like reality. What we choose to believe and what goes through our minds within our fallen nature seems like reality, but God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. What do you think the disciples, I say this all the time, what did the disciples feel and think and see when Jesus was crucified? And they all hid themselves. They locked themselves in a room in shame. Peter denied Jesus. All the disciples fled when he was crucified. They thought God lost. The Messiah who raises people from the dead couldn't raise himself. Was this really the Messiah? What do you think was going through their minds? But what seemed true for them wasn't true because it was our greatest victory, wasn't it, church? And we all go through these seasons where what is in front of us, what we see, think, and feel, points to everything against what God says, and we have a choice. You know, that journey for me, for those of you who know, some of you have heard my story, I got clean and came to the Lord, got in ministry, and then it's been about 9 years. And the doctors didn't know how to explain it, but there was a bunch of brain stuff that took place, a mental illness, and I had all these delusions and anxieties, and to a point where I had to stop pastoring for a while and go to a facility, and I left that facility, and they said I would never work again, that I'd be permanently disabled, and that I would probably be homebound most of the time because these delusions and brain things I was dealing with were to that extreme. And I remember sitting with my wife, crushed. I don't know if you've ever been that, like you're just crushed by what you see and think and feel. And I'm like, man, I'm supposed to provide, what am I gonna do? And I went to my dad, and I'll never forget what he says. He said to me, you cannot trust your own emotions right now, your own thoughts, or what you see in your circumstances. They say that you're not going to be able to do it, but God can do it anyways. Amen? And in that, it didn't play out that way, but it's been a battle ever since. And God has worked, but there will be a time, not if, but when your circumstances, what you think and feel, are screaming everything to question where is God, to question his goodness, to not trust and hold firm to the faith, and we will all have a choice to make. Will we choose to trust what God says? And there's going to be times where we fail, and we need people around us to sort out the confusion. And it's not that you always ignore. God gave us emotions and thoughts, but when it's muddy, and it will get muddy, will we choose to hold to our faith? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. This is what 1 Corinthians 15 says. It says, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you." I believe there's probably people in here today that are wrestling with what's true and what's not. The devil's speaking in your ear that you have no value or worth, that God's nowhere in your circumstance, or why would he allow this thing? Or why would this thing play out in your life? Or when you pray, it seems like God doesn't hear you or whatever. And that seems so true to you. But I'm so thankful that God is the truth, not what happens up here. God is the truth. He is the way. And sometimes what seems so true to us, God says, "Would you trust that I can work in and through it? Would you trust my word that says I will never leave you or forsake you? Will you trust that says when you go through deep waters, I'll be with you? Would you trust that regardless when you feel unloved, that it says that nothing can separate you from God's love, not angels nor demons, nor our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow?" He says this to believers. We have a choice. What will we choose to stand on? It says in Proverbs 23:7 that as a man thinks, so he is. What we choose to think, if we don't capture thoughts, the Bible makes it clear that we are to capture thoughts in 2 Corinthians 10. That we have to capture them and make it obedient to Christ, to take what is there and go, "I'm going to weigh it with the word of God." And what I choose to do with that, what I choose to think with that, so a man thinks, so a man is. Would we do this together? Would we stand on the truth? For those of you who don't believe in Jesus, there's a God who loves you. Regardless if you believe he loves you or not, I'm here to say he loves you. He's died for you. He wants eternity with you. But it gives you a choice. He is knocking on the door, but he won't knock the door down. Would you hear his voice in his word today? If you're a believer and you're like, "Man, it's hard. Sometimes it's like, man, I'm just wrestling." Here's what I want you to hear today. This is what it says in 2 Peter. It says, God has given you what you need. Even if you don't believe that today, God says, "I've given you what you need. Would you trust that I'm going to work through it? Would you trust that I'm going to walk with you?" And when you don't feel like you have what you need, listen to this. 2 Peter 1 says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by his means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises." Listen to this next part, this crazy verse. "These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises." He's given us what we need. And he says, it is his promises that will enable you, that will allow you to share in his nature and escape the world's corruptions. Will we stand on God's promises, church? And you know these, you know his promises. That he came for you, that he loves you, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that he's forgiven your sins as far as the east is from the west, that he's gonna walk with you, he's gonna go before you, that he who began a good work in you will see it to completion. And it says, would you do everything you can to respond to those? And you can't do it alone. You need people to go, "You remember what God says? He's with you. Do you remember that when you fail, he'll forgive you if you would confess it? Do you remember that when you feel crazy up here, let's talk about that so we can capture your thoughts together and make it obedient to Christ? Whatever the circumstance, it says that in his word, God has given us his promises and he's given us what we need and he'll do it with us. As we get ready to close here, before I ask the closing questions, I want to read this passage. This is a prayer from Jesus, not only for his disciples, but at the end of the prayer, as you will see, he says, for every believer that will ever believe in him, he prays this prayer. Listen to this in John 17 as we get ready for communion in a couple of minutes. It says this, "Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but for all who will ever believe in me through their message." See, as Jesus was getting ready to die, he prayed for you. All who would believe. And if there are unbelievers, he prayed and is an invitation that you would believe. For all who will believe in me through their message, that he came to seek and to save, that he came to do what we could not. He obeyed the law as our representative fully. Then he died the death that we deserved. He rose as the evidence that the Father accepted the sacrifice. That is why he rose. When he rose, it was an acceptance to show that he had accepted the sacrifice. And he says that you receive that when you hear that message and you believe it and you say, Jesus, you are Lord. God, I put my confidence in what you have done for me. He says, those who believe and walk with me, I pray for you. Not to take you out of the world, but to protect you from the enemy, that would you hold on, would you hear the truth that makes you holy as you believe it, and as it changes you. What do you believe today, church? As the ushers get ready to come forward and as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want to ask these questions today as they get ready to do that and can do that whenever they're ready. One, I want to ask you, do you need to believe the truth today? There's only one truth that you need to know, and his name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is very real. He does exist. He created it all, and he came to save you. Would you believe it today? Two, do you need someone in your life today to sort out the confusion and what you are wrestling with in your own minds? All of the next chunk of time through all of September, we're gonna have all kinds of different ways starting in September to sign up for groups, because here's the deal. We have to have people who help us sort out what's in our minds. Maybe I'm the only one. I know I'm not, but I'll say it that way. But we need each other. And maybe you need to get connected today. Maybe you need to sign up. And it always is great, and we sit around, and there's no problems, and we always sing Kumbaya as we do it, right? No, it's messy, because there's people involved. But God doesn't give you an option. He says, if you are about me, then you're about my people. Which leads me to my next point. For those of you who believe the truth, you are standing in the truth. Thank you. It's not easy. It's hard. Would you share that truth? There are people out there clinging to the things that they think that they want and they can't get out. They're in slave chains. They're in bondage, holding to the thing that they think will save them. It's the very thing that is killing them. Would you be someone that shares the truth, that shows the truth by how you live?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.